welcome you to our Lord's Day service, and we're so delighted that you are here today. We especially want to welcome Cindy Steele back to our fold. We call her a Unitarian Moravian, or a Unimoravian. We would like to invite you to our fellowship hour after service today. It will be at Fellowship Hall, and the Turners and Friends are celebrating milestone birthdays. I can't tell you the exact number, but they're 10 years shy of a century. And we'll also be saying farewell to Chuck Mead today, so please greet him during our time for fellowship. We need sign-ups for Fear Ball. We need people who will man tables and also bake sugar cakes. We give the sugar cakes away and we talk about our church, and it's a wonderful outreach opportunity. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex if you would like to help us with that. Let us now turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Teach us to know the Father, Son, and the abode to be but one, that through the ages all along this is made our endless song.
Our watchword for Pentecost Sunday is taken from John chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Please stand, if you are able, as we sing hymn 490, "The Spirit of God Who Dwells."
We need it from sin through all.
join in our responsive reading found in your bulletin. When was the last time that we heard the wind of your spirit roar through this place?
When was the last time your fire lit up this room?
When was the last time we took you at your word and met together in expectation of your spirit filling this place and these lives with your glory and power?
Lord, you challenge us with Pentecost.
Do we believe that this was a once-in-eternity experience, never to be repeated? That the Holy Spirit was poured out on your followers for a single purpose and ended his work at that instant? If so, then maybe that is why the church seems so powerless in this age, helpless when faced with the needs, both spiritual and physical, that we see in the world.
Lord, as we meet together to celebrate once again the memory of that first Pentecost,
may it be for us, as it was then, a moment of empowerment.
An awareness of your glory in this dark world, a life-changing experience.
We are so grateful that you have brought us here today. We are so grateful for the winds of the Spirit that we sense in our midst. We're so grateful for the love that has called us together. We ask, O Lord, for those who could not be here today, either by physical infirmity or distance, that your grace would be upon them, that your love would sustain them. We ask for this time of worship that you will indeed be with us, that you would kindle within us the flame of your Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. To live with the Spirit of God is to be a listener. It is to keep the vigil of mystery, earthless and still. One leans to catch the stirring of the spirit, strange as the wind's will. The soul that walks where the wind of the spirit blows turns like a wandering weather vane towards love. It may lament like Job or Jeremiah, echo the wounded heart, the mateless dove. It may rejoice in spaciousness of meadow that emulates the freedom of the sky. Always it walks in waylessness, unknowing. It has cast down forever from its hand the compass of the whither and the why. To live with the Spirit of God is to be like him, toward whom we strain with metaphors of creatures, fire sweep and water rush and the wind's whim. The soul is all activity, all silence. And though it surges Godward to its goal, it holds, as moving earth holds sleeping noonday, the peace that is the listening of the soul.
Our scripture lesson is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? We hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood, and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of God's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us continue to worship our Lord with the giving of our tithes and our offerings. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I wonder if there's anyone here where English is not your native tongue. Are there any here who are bilingual? There are a few. My mother was bilingual English was not her native tongue, it was Italian, and so that was her first language. And then when she went to school, of course, she learned English, and she spoke that fluently. Her siblings made sure that there was not one trace of an Italian accent because they did not want to be tormented in school. We think that bullying is just a modern day occurrence. No, it's been happening for decades and centuries. So she had this marvelous facility which she did not pass along to her children. And she would use it especially when talking to her siblings on the phone when she did not want the children to understand what she was talking about. And as she aged, there were less and less people that she could speak Italian to, but she told me something very interesting. She said, whenever I dream in Italian. That never left her. There is something about our native language. I was thinking about the time that I had a Tanzanian bishop come to my church. And he was fluent in English to the point that he understood and he could respond appropriately, but not fluent enough in all the idioms. So when he stood up to preach, it was very stilted. He had to read from a script, and he had a very thick accent, so I could see everyone leaning in, trying to understand what he was saying. And I could see he was very uncomfortable. And at the very end of the service, as people are filing out, of course, we're very polite, and everyone was telling him what a lovely sermon it was. I knew they didn't understand him, but they were all smiling and chattering at him. And he was gamely trying to engage people. And then a woman that I had never met came up to him and started to speak in a tongue that I was unfamiliar with. Turns out it was Swahili, which was his native tongue. And so they were talking with each other. And I figured maybe she was an expatriate, maybe she was somebody that he knew that had heard that he was coming to our church. Afterwards, when he was at my home, he handed me a piece of paper and says, we have to go here. Well, it was an address I had never heard before. And I said, well, why do we have to go there? Well, that lady who was here said she wants me at her house. Now, this is it was not Door County. And I was not in the habit of going to strange neighborhoods and strange homes without knowing who it was. But I figured, well, he's my guest, I'll take him. Went to this lady's house. They were not compatriots. They were from different countries. The only thing they shared in common was the language. And she said to him, I've prepared all these things. She had clothing and shoes and goods. She said, I was going to ship them to my native country. But because you're here and you're going back to Tanzania, I'm giving them to you for your people. And he was so delighted. I saw him light up. And in the afternoon, I took him back to where his other pastors were from Tanzania, and they were all comparing notes. And even though I didn't understand the language, I could see the body language. He was very happy, and they were very jealous. And I thought of how that language became a homing signal for him. That was the only thing they had in common, was the language. And then you read this marvelous passage in the book of Acts, how these Jewish disciples were together in one place. They were not bilingual or trilingual. And as they prayed, they said the Spirit of Almighty God came on them, and they began to speak in other languages. Now, I did Linda a favor today, and I didn't have her recite all the languages because they actually talk about them here. They say, how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. What it was a homing signal that brought all those people there. Now, the people who heard all of that language of their own native tongue, these were people who understood the contemporary language of the day, so they understood Peter when he got up to preach. They were all transplants. And if you've ever been a transplant, you know when you hear somebody who sounds like you, it makes everything come alive. Now, even though I'm not bilingual, I am New York. And so when I hear the New York accent, all of a sudden my talk becomes very broadly New York. And we start to compare notes. It's a homing beacon. And I think that is the beauty of Pentecost, was that homing beacon that spoke to people in their own languages and said, everyone who calls on the name of God will be saved. And beyond that, God's going to pour out his spirit, not just to the religious elite, not just to those who have papers associated with their names, not just to the wealthy, not just to one ethnic group of people, but to all people. He said, even down to the enslaved, all will have the Spirit of God. One of the things that the church does on Pentecost is sometimes try to recapture the experience of Pentecost. We want the Pentecostal flame, and I think that is the wrong wish. Because it is not about the experience, it is about the invitation. And the invitation was not to those disciples standing there, it was to the people who gathered. And he said, this is the message of God. It is God is for you. And that is the message that we take in these pews today, but I hope outside of this church, in saying God is for you. When you feel in exile, when you feel like no one understands you, God is for you. When you feel like you can't figure out the Spirit of God, just think about what's within you, because God is for you. When your life is a mess, God is for you. When you have nothing to your name, God is for you. That is the Pentecostal message, and that is what we bring outside of these doors. The divine inclusion says God is for you. That's the message we bring today. How will you tell your neighbor? How will you tell the people you are associated with tomorrow that God is for them? May we learn the language of our neighbors. May we understand where they're coming from, so that we can tell them, God is for you. Let us pray. Lord, we are so blessed today that the wind of your Spirit continues. We are so blessed today that the flame of love is within this body, and we are so blessed today that God is for us. And so we ask, O Lord, that you would help us to get the message out to all whom we meet. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God's world filled with the spark of the Holy Spirit. Let love guide your actions. Listen for the Spirit of truth. Spread the peace of Christ and remind everyone you meet that each one is a beloved child of God. Service is not over. Well, most of it is. But I need Chuck Mead to come up. Chuck, would you come up? Now, as you know, Chuck is going to be leaving for the wilds of Green Bay. And we wanted to tell him how much we love this man. He came to us about a decade ago, and within about a year or two, I thought I have a live one on my hands. So first I asked him, because he was an elder, to join the Board of Elders, and he said, no, I'm more of a numbers person. So we asked him then to join the Board of Trustees, which he did, and led the Board of Trustees to a lot of the improvements that you see in church were because of Chuck. We love his sense of humor, his leadership. This is not a final farewell. We know we're going to be pestering him to come back and visit from time to time. But Chuck, we do have some lovely parting gifts, and we are taking our hearts with you. And the choir has something that they would like to say to you, and we're gonna sit here. I do have your gift, but it's kind of heavy.
A check.
We won't say goodbye.
Well, there you go. It's fellowship time, and I think the choir should lead the way. Musicians and food are never far apart, and so the choir's going to get there, and I recommend everyone diving quick, because there's got to be a finite amount of cake. As you go, and feel free to talk and holler over the top of the music, I'm going to play a piece of music which was a favorite of Joni, Chuck's partner, and I think for Chuck, there must be some resonance with this piece, too. It's very loud, so you're going to have to talk up. Go and eat cake.
Thank you. I should have been sitting up here with you because I love listening to the audience. If they have the part next to me, you feel like Newton.
I said, "Beer or drums cake for me."
The woman who gave the piano is here. She's a friend of Ellen is a friend of Cal's. They taught together in Paris. And she has a condo in Harvard. She's a child, a rocker neighbor. Who's the one that gave the piano? So I'm glad that